new old dads, but we're really just two old dads, and they're really just two girl dads going through it together.
Oh.
Hey, Cooper Kennard, everybody. That was wonderful.
Hey, Cooper, how do you say your last name?
Kennard. Kennard. A-R-D, which is really important because our child's going to have to be pronounced it correctly at some point.
Right. Kennard. Dude, I think 15 episodes in, I was forgetting the words to the song. We just told it to you now and you ripped it off, man. Well done. I like your style.
It's very rare that I get to use my musical theater degree, Patrick. So I'm
boy, boy or girl, Patrick, you are going to be set up. Hey, everybody. So listen, this is Cooper. Cooper is one of Patrick and I's good friends here in Indianapolis. It's kind of funny. We've all grown up on different sides of the country. And if there could be a triangle in the middle of where we all grew up is Indiana.
God, good point.
So, it's kind of funny to see these three dudes and really dads getting together for this podcast. And we really appreciate it, Cooper. We're excited to have you on the podcast, dude. It's been too long.
I am so excited. You know, we've talked about having me on and being able to connect with you guys because we're all obviously going through this experience together. So I'm just really excited to be able to do it on the eve of my child's birth, we think.
Ooh. It's literally tomorrow is Cooper's. It's your baby's due date or the original due date.
Yeah, the original. So we went to the doctor and they said, hey, you know, December 3rd. And then we got remeasured. And you guys have talked about that. And they said, well, actually, baby's measuring, we think, December 7th. So Brooke is pretty hell-bent on it being December 3rd because since she's in women's health, she just wants to be right. I know what that's like because I'm married to her. So really excited about that.
He's the king. Cooper, you're the king of those kind of jokes, man. Like, you're married to her, bro. Like, you obviously know.
So I appreciate that.
Well, yeah.
And Cooper, we've talked about you multiple times on the show. Uh-huh. And the thing that, and I'll speak on behalf of Joe, I think, the thing that we're most fascinated by, because we, you know, we both can't necessarily, we can comprehend it, but we both are like, no, we want to know the sex of the baby far before the birth. And you and Brooke made the decision to not find out what the sex is, which I just think is amazing.
You guys are psychopaths.
Well, first off, most of the time in the court of law, married couples can't, you know, testify against each other. So I'll just say, yeah, we both decided to do this. It's great. It's actually funny. There's a good story about this. So very early on, Brooke was always very much, so she did labor delivery for 5 years as a nurse. She's been around, you know, hundreds of women on their, you know, magical day, kind of coaching them and helping them through that process. And she told me very early on when we got pregnant that she didn't want to find out the sex of the baby, which, you know, in the day, her body, her choice, absolutely. We're going to go with whatever she wants. But I really wasn't in on it. I was kind of like, you know, I really want to know because I'm a planner, right? I like to plan. And I went to my barber that next day. And, as you share everything with your barber, I think he knows my social security number. He knows like the last four of my credit card. We just share a lot, right? So he told me, he's like, you know, when we had my baby, we didn't find out early either. And he said, the feeling that I had holding my daughter for the first time and telling my wife it's a girl, like, it just gave me like chills.
I wish you told me that first. You should have told me that. Oh my God, I'd be on your train immediately.
So I was
Cooper, that's cool as shit, man. Yeah. That is cool.
In addition to cutting my hair, he's also like soaking up the tears that are welling down my cheeks because I'm just like, okay, I'm
so what a storyteller though. But isn't a barber just a really good storyteller?
Right.
I mean, so maybe he just
made it up on the spot because he can.
He's like, I'm gonna tell this guy, and he's not gonna find out the sex of the baby, and then I'm gonna be the reason why he didn't find out the sex of the baby because I made this shit up.
Yeah, it's funny. He also gave our girl name, which is kind of
so he named your baby too.
Yes, he did. He's not the father, just for anybody else listening.
Doug, he's not the father.
As far as I know, I am. So just, you know, let's cool the jets on any spoilers here. But yeah, no, he, great guy. He gave full of stories. I never need a therapist. So, you know, we're good to go.
That's awesome, man. That's really good stuff.
That is. And you know what, man? We were really wondering what the thought process was, and I'm glad we could share that with our listeners because, you know, Patrick and I were like, no way, we're finding out. I need to find out. Carrie needs to find out. There's no joking around anymore. You know, yeah. It's go time.
There wasn't even a hesitate. There wasn't even a conversation.
No, I'm not waiting that long. I'm waiting long enough to see the baby, let alone find out what it is.
Right.
And then I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be – and for me, it's just going to be a disappointment if it's one way or the other, and maybe we love the girl name. Like, I love Gia's name. What if it's not that? Now I have the name of Giovanni? Like, you know, we can pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we picked girl and boy names pretty early in. And so we were always kind of ready. Either way, we're going to be happy. I gotta be honest, though. I actually like our girl name more than our boy name.
See? So what happens if it's a boy and now you have to name it the secondary name?
Well, you know, I mean, no... Who knows, man? At this point, I guess that'll just be one of those things that I hold over my son's head. You know,
be like, you'll never be that girl name ever.
Yeah, and then that's just something that he'll have to work through when he's in his 30s or 40s, like I'm doing now, and things my dad said. So it's perfect. You know, why not?
Well played, sir.
Keep the cycle going.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hilarious, dude. See, we knew, God, he should have been on so much longer ago. You know, we tried to have you on. I had it hooked up. We were recording. I might even have that recording somewhere. But
I think we got kicked out of Patrick's house that night, though.
That's when Angie had the emergency, when the girls were out walking and Angie had the emergency bowel shits. Movement. Remember that? Yeah.
Right? I just want to make sure that we're okay telling everybody what that was.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't care.
Yeah,
yeah. So we were all set up that way. And
Patrick, you're from South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking this on the map. That's why I'm doing this. Cooper, you're from Mississippi.
Born and raised, baby.
And then I'm from, I was born in New York and Connecticut, so that's pretty close. Dude, which part of Mississippi are you from again?
Northeast part of the state.
Northeast part of the state? Dang. So if you were from the southeast part of the state, it would almost be exactly. And which part of the state are you from, Patrick?
Southeast. Very much the southeast part of the state.
That's super interesting, guys. I mean, we literally might be in the exact middle spot in Indianapolis from New York, Southeast Dakota, and Northeast Mississippi. It's cool. That's kind of epic.
I like it.
So, cool. Listen, what are you going to name the baby?
I can't tell.
Nah, not sure. That's cool.
He's not
that's
paying cool. attention. He's out there, right? He's right, taking notes. I can tell he's taking notes. And I thought I ask him while he was a little vulnerable.
No, I am just writing things down that I'm going to, when this podcast invariably is released, I'm going to have to explain to my wife. So, you know, he just walks downstairs and looks at me, and she does this at least once or twice a week, and I just have to backpedal immediately and figure out what it is. So I'm just writing things down that may be used against me in a marriage later. So we're good.
Amazing. So okay, we mentioned that Cooper's at his basically at his due date. Mm-hmm. What do we ask him first, Patrick? I mean, you know, we've gone through so much that, you know, I have so many questions for Cooper about how he feels about things.
Well, I may have a question for you. We can start with yours, but I definitely have questions for you guys if y'all are open to that.
Please.
Yeah. Okay. Lean in. Tell us.
Yeah. So, Patrick, you are now a couple weeks into being a dad, and Joe, you're now on the other side. You guys have been doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks. So
this is episode 24.
Right. And so, you know, Brooke and I have been listening in, and she's caught pretty much all of them. I caught most of them. But what has changed for you guys about your perspective of, like, fatherhood from when you started to, like, now? Like, you're talking about it. You're, like, reading a lot about it. You're, you know, you've been consuming a lot of things that, you know, let's face it, most guys, if they don't seek out to do this, they may not come across it. So you know, what is that for y'all?
This isn't supposed to be you asking us questions. That's not how this works.
Yeah, but if you guys remember, our friendship is pretty much me just telling you guys what to do. So I, you know, like this is on brand.
Well, okay, so here's my
you answer, because I'll give you my answer because it's 2 seconds, nothing. So go ahead, Patrick, because it's been this way for the couple of months, other than me getting yelled at tonight, straight up, that I wasn't doing enough research. So
my answer to that question is, it's all much, much more real, obviously, for me. I mean, I'm literally, if I lean back and look out my office door, I see my daughter breastfeeding with my wife. It's right here, right out the door. I look back, and that's what I see when I look out the office door. So it's just extraordinarily real for me now, right? We're not, and like you said, we're into the groove. We're used to not getting any sleep, or getting used to not getting any sleep. And so, what's that, babe? Yeah, right. And she said, yeah, right. And so, it doesn't answer your question, I don't think. Maybe it does, but it's just, it's here, right? It's here. Mm-hmm. And everything leading up to my going, oh my gosh, I'm leaving this hospital with this baby. Right. That's all. It's all here. I'm a freaking dad, man.
Cooper, if you ask Patrick a question, usually he'll give you like the most like honest, like physical, like it's never emotional answers with Patrick. I have to draw it out of him a little bit more. But yeah, Patrick, I feel like the one thing that I remember him saying, Cooper, is that he said she has my heart. That's all he said about his daughter, Violet. And I was like, totally. That's when I knew. And I got that out of Patrick when we were hanging out the other day when we met Violet for the first time. So
unbelievably smitten. And, you know, it comes out more and more every day, especially conversations with my dad. I'm sending a picture a day to my father at his request. Please send me a picture of my granddaughter every day. I want to see something every day, he said. And so we're taking, you know, I mean, jeepers, 10 pictures a day of this kid, you know, because everything's cute, right?
Absolutely.
And then I'll send one of those to my old man, and he'll come back and he'll be like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because he's a grandparent already. He's got twin grandsons that are 10, but now he's got this granddaughter, and he's completely recharged, if you will. He's so recharged about life, and he couldn't be happier. So anyway, I'm living that every day with him and my mom, of course, too. But it's really interesting and cool to see him just, I mean, he's
pine
just
over his gushing, granddaughter's
just
pictures.
Gushing.
Yeah. I think that's such a cool thing because like when I think about like having our child, I personally what does this do for my wife and I? What does this do for Brooke and I and our relationship and our situation and what we have going on and what's going to change for us? But that's really cool that you have gotten something out of it beyond just your personal household and those relationships around you. And, you know, I think about this. My grandfather passed away last year after living 101 years, right?
Mm. Oh,
unbelievable. 101 years.
And he's a sixth generation to live on that family farm. You know, he's been there. He was born during the Spanish flu pandemic, crazy. And then passed away right before this pandemic. So just that could be its own podcast. You know, I do that once a week where I just talk about history.
They have those.
Yeah, but I think about like, you know, who we are and the representation of who we are in our family and, you know, that line that we're leaving and, you know, the ripples that can come from it. And so I hadn't thought about this, Patrick, but man, hearing you say that, I'm so like, just like juiced to, you know, see my son or daughter around my dad.
And, oh yeah, dude.
You know, some of the things that he taught me, like being able to pass that on to my child, you know, and things like that. So that's just, that's awesome, man. I got goosebumps like just hearing that.
Good. No, you're
that's good. Cool. You know, after you're hearing you guys say it that way, it's funny because you guys are like going from a household that has nothing going on to a household with the baby, and I say that in the nicest way possible, but you guys don't know shit about chaos. I mean, I'm thinking about it now. I'm not as nervous because we're just like, yeah, just add it into the chaos that we already have.
Wait, are you talking about Devin or the Chihuahuas?
Because both, all three problems. But like between, you know, Devin, but granted, Devin's a really good kid. He's also 9 years old. He can wipe his own ass. I can wipe my own ass. Awesome. I can wipe my own ass.
Do I go front, back? I never know.
Sometimes I wipe it and it's just like a marker. Like it just like keep, like what happens? Like why does it keep coming?
What's going on down there?
If it's a girl, it's front to back. Just saying.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There girl, front to back.
Okay. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but my wife, we were talking about the front to back, you know, with a girl and how do you wipe and things like that. And she just looked at me and said, I feel like you have no idea what even happens down there. And I'm just sitting there and looking. I'm like, well, we've been married for 3 years. We're about to have a child. That's not what I was expecting to hear today.
Oh my God, this is funny. This is so much. It needed to be Cooper the whole time. Cooper, we're so sorry. Dude, you needed to be on this way
longer.
Don't be
sorry, because the timing couldn't be more perfect, right?
Epic.
It was meant to be right now, right here, right now.
You're absolutely right. You know what? Let's keep them. I say we add them in. You do this every week with us from now on. End of story.
I'll be the judge of that, Joe.
Like my cousin Vinny thing where I just come in and out. You know, I can be like the director to your Conan O'Brien if you'd like.
Yeah, that'd be really funny. That's a good point. Like, you probably have Conan O'Brien hair though. You definitely.
I do. I am a ginger, totally. And I do quaff very, very fast. So.
Yeah. So point being, guys, you guys are going from an empty house, and we kind of have a little. I mean, dude, I have kids over my house all the time. Like, the neighbor across the street was here today. And then his friend, he's always wanted to play. Now, he's an only child, so it is kind of quiet. And then when he goes to his dad's house, that time is going away. So Carrie and I have been making efforts to be with each other and go places and do things, not since quarantining. We're starting to quarantine since December 3rd or November 30th, because we want to make sure there's no questions and we're not really going to go anywhere. So anyway, it's just so funny to think about, though. Like, it was just gonna add another chaos. Like, just go ahead, pile it on. Who cares at this point? The pile's this high. What does it matter if it's this high?
Yeah, but you guys have a cool dynamic in that, you know, when you bring the baby home, Evan's gonna be kind of part of that, like bedding in, and you know, how does he become a big? Is he gonna be a big brother? Like, what is that like?
Two times, his dad is having a boy. They found out, so now he's going to be a brother for a little girl and a little boy. So he's going to have a brother and sister that are the same age from two different sets of parents. So it's crazy, but funny you say that, Cooper, because the other day we were talking about where the baby's going to eat with us and what time we need to eat and stuff like that, and he started laughing, and I was like, yeah, she's going to eat at the table. He's going to be like, right. He goes, right here next to him and mama. He goes, she's going to eat right next to me and mama. Awesome. Like, not the dad, not me being daddy, you know. It's like next to Devin. I was like, that's okay, buddy. You're the big brother. You protect
him. So he's like already like buying in, and like that's awesome, man.
Yeah, he bought in pretty quick. He asked a bunch of questions. I mean, I don't know any other 9-year-old that knows as much as he does about pregnancy. At least the ones that don't live in Mississippi.
Wow.
I mean, listen, you get,
dude, hold on, let me get those shots fired.
When you're born on a dairy farm, you see a lot of shit. Okay, and I'm sorry if there's like a PG-13 rating on this.
No, this is completely explicit.
Okay, good. Because true story. My granddad, I remember being like 7 years old, and so we had dairy, you know, and we had like 80 to 100 head of cattle, whatever. A lot of heifers on the farm, and there was this one heifer that was pregnant. And I remember my granddaddy very vividly when I'm 8 years old. Hooking, because the baby was breached and it wasn't coming out, so we had to go get it, right? I remember him hooking a 40/20 to a strap and going inside the mama and pulling that calf out by the tractor. And that,
damn.
So when I say, like, okay, throwing a shot at Mississippi is not fair, because not everyone else is going to have that experience that vividly scarred there.
All right, fine. South Dakota. Let's just go that way.
Same.
Same.
Mississippi, South Dakota. Same.
I mean, can we just agree that we're not Kentucky? So.
Wait, hey, careful. Doug's from Kentucky, from what
I understand. Doug is not from Kentucky.
He is tonight.
Okay, he's from Kentucky. Okay, Cooper, so we can ask you a question a day before you're are you freaking ready? What you said, you know, are you ready?
Well,
what do you think you're missing?
Well, I haven't pooped in 2 days. So
that's a lie. There's no way. I would be seriously? So pain.
I'm like ready.
You're all bound up. But like,
have you really not pooped in 2 days? I want to hear this, because
it's been a day. But with me, like, if it's over 12 hours, something's up. So you know,
really,
yeah,
you think that's from nerves.
No. I'm just pretty regular. I just go and chew cardboard for fiber outside. So
outside,
pretty regular. But sorry, can't do that in the house. But anyway, I don't know if I'm ready. That's the thing. I have a list on my fridge right now that says shit you can't forget, you idiot. And it's just like a list of things that Brooke and I last night, I sat her down and said, okay, I need to be like ready to go. Like we've had our go bags like packed out in front of the front door for weeks, which like we have that. My mom did that for a period when she and my dad were married. It was like a tactic. I don't know. She got good money, whatever. Anyway, but like we are like ready to roll like right now, with bags, like everything that we could ever need. And
you don't, if it doesn't happen, say within the next 48 hours or so, you don't have like an appointment set to be induced or anything like that, right?
No, so we're with a midwifery, and that's a great word, by the way. There's a spell.
Your
eyebrows just went up, Joe. You never heard that word?
Midwifery?
So like a murder of crows, a herd of elephants, a midwifery of midwives.
Holy shit, we're learning so much. Keep going.
Yeah, so the midwifery that Brooke, that we're working with, and it's a team of like four or five, they actually don't induce until you go 41 and a half.
Oh.
They like everything natural. We got there and they were like, would you like a water birth? Would you like to use nitrous versus an epidural? Would you like to? They gave us, like, it was like the Netflix of birthing options. Like, they have it. So they're really natural. They're great. They've been awesome, but they don't like to induce. So we're going to wait. See what they
40 at 41 and a half?
Yeah.
Why not 41 or 42? I don't understand.
For whatever reason, they
don't question.
Okay, sorry.
90%, like they say, the statistics: 90% of most babies come to term by this time and are delivered. So there's some science behind it, and they have good intentions. But
amazing.
Yeah, they're very natural. They want it all as natural as you want it to be.
You guys want to hear something crazy?
Yes.
So we asked the doctor, what happens if the baby's too big and she can't get out? Back in the day before C-sections.
Huh.
And she said the mom and the baby would die.
Oh, yee.
And now it's like, you wonder why people were so small back in the day.
Hmm.
Because you would die and your genes would go away. And if you're a big dude having sex and having babies and every person you have a baby with dies and the baby doesn't get born, then you don't have Darwinism, right?
Holy Moses.
It was just a thought. I don't know. I came up with it. But then, you know, do you know, Cooper, do you know where cesarean section comes from? The name?
No. Can you use it in a sentence?
Caesar.
Sorry. Yeah, no, go.
Caesar was the first cesarean section.
He was the recipient.
He was the baby that was the first cesarean section.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, Et tu, Brute, like stabbed in the back for a second. No, I'm with you. Man.
Great history. Yeah, you need to do a history podcast. I love it.
All
right. So I think we got 3 weeks to go in the book here by Adrian Cult. So let's get Patrick. Patrick, why don't you pull out your week and go backwards?
My week and go backwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it doesn't, because remember last week, didn't we read something or no?
We did.
What week are we on again?
What week are you on?
I'm just all kidding. Right, yeah. It's just at this point, I can't. How can I lose count? It's either 1 week away or 2 weeks away for me. But
Joe, we just kind of jumped in on a week since the whole thought was, somebody that should go, say somebody went 47 weeks or 46 weeks or what have you. So if memory serves me right, we just kind of chose a week and said, hey, let's speak to those fathers to be or parents to be that, are that far along. And
let's go to week 40 then. Let's go to week 40.
Better.
All right, Cooper.
That sounds better. Week 40, which is where Cooper's at right now. And Cooper, we refer to the book, We're Pregnant, The First Time Dad's Pregnancy Handbook by a gentleman named Adrian Culp. And week 40, the chapter is called Finally, with an exclamation point. It says, congratulations, you've reached the end of your pregnancy. The baby weighs 6 and 9 pounds, between 6 and 9 pounds, excuse me, and measures between 19 and 22 inches. About 30% of all babies are born during this week. Your practitioner most likely won't allow mom to go over 42 weeks, thus the 41 and a half, right, that Cooper referred to. Says, mom statistics, baby has dropped and is in a position for birth. Mom's cervix continues to soften and dilate. Mom's probably uncomfortable. Is that the case? Is she uncomfortable right now, Cooper?
With me or just like with the baby?
Physically.
She is now physically discomforted.
Is she? Is she?
Yeah. She's having to get up every couple minutes just to kind of move around the cabin and, go back
down. Well, and one thing that I'll point out, and Joe, you saw this too, is I was shocked to see, with Angie and Brooke being, within 2 weeks of each other, how different their bodies carried.
I know.
There was a point when it was like it was obvious she was pregnant, and Brooke was like, "Are you what? You don't even, you don't look like you're pregnant at all," and she's tall. She's a tall girl, and it was amazing to see physically how different they carried. What's that, babe? Oh, my baby's giggling at that one. Violet's out there giggling.
Take a picture.
So it says, mom is probably uncomfortable, excited, terrified, nervous, and sleep deprived. Is she not sleeping well?
She actually has been sleeping fairly well. I mean, she gets up every maybe once or twice an evening just to use the restroom. But I mean, really, it hasn't been too bad.
That's good.
She starts the night freezing cold. And then by the end, when I wake up, it looks like a murder scene because our blankets are everywhere. So
really?
That's been kind of the discomfort of like hot, cold temperature regulation, but yeah.
Interesting.
But all of the above, absolutely all of the above.
And then it goes on to say she is very anxious about beginning her life as a mom. So I feel as if that's kind of natural, right? And really those are kind of the high points, Joe, of week 40. Again, the title says it all. Finally is the title.
Finally.
And then we're going to review week 38, which you and Carrie are at. This is the week that Angie came to me and said for the first time that she was really, really nervous. Right. I'm curious where's Carrie at that way?
Well, I would say the nervousness only has to do with the fact that we don't really know her body is really. We found out this week that she's having like slight contractions, and she's having things like happening from a standpoint of like her body is trying. You can tell, but she went to the doctor and she was not dilated at all. Which is kind of sad because it's looking more and more like we're going to have a C-section.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we're not happy about it. I mean, we obviously want it to try to be a VBAC and natural, but it's looking worse. More like it's going to be, again, because her body isn't opening up and she's actually bleeding a little bit too, which they say is natural. So I'm like, what? Like, what do we have to do? Like, you need to go somewhere. And she says, no, it's natural. So Yeah, just nerve-wracking. I think she's not nervous because she's done this before, sure. But she's also now nervous because she's probably gonna have a C-section, which means they're gonna cut her open.
Right.
Which is the worst thing to talk about. It just sucks. As we learned from our...
Was Devin a C-section or was he natural birth?
Yeah, but he was an emergency C-section. So they were trying and trying and trying and her body wasn't opening up. And this time it's doing the same thing. Which brings me to my point about cesarean sections. Like, what did they do before this? Because it's an amazing miracle.
Terrifying. Back in the day. Yeah. Terrifying. Thank you for sharing that, Joe.
Sure.
Says, even though, this is when I was so impressed that Adrian used the word in utero, if you remember. Says, even though there could potentially be another 2 weeks, 4 at max, in utero, your baby is ready to hit the ground running, which means crying. It is still in the process of shedding the vernix. She is still in the process of shedding the vernix, the greasy white substance that protects the skin. Everything else is ready to go. Baby is simply gaining weight and allowing the wisdom of Mother Nature to decide when it's time. Our toenails now are reached the end of the toes, so she's got full-grown toenails, if you will.
That's
vocal
cool.
Cords are fully developed. Mom's nesting continues. Is Carrie nesting? Would you label her as a nester at this point?
She doesn't sit down.
Really?
She's not during work hours. She's when she's working on the computer, she has to sit on the couch.
Got it.
But if there are things that need to be done, and like last weekend we were away, and then we came back home, and on Saturday night we started cleaning, and on Sunday Devin and I went to the Colts game, and when we came back the whole house was clean.
Hmm.
I was like, Carrie, you got to sit down. You got to relax.
Wow,
she's like, dude, I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Wow.
So, you know, kind of like Cooper, where he's really nervous. Carrie can't have this baby, just like Cooper can't poop. So, he's really nervous. There's a lot of tension in there for both of them.
Yeah, we are both going through a very similar total experience. So
yeah, I know. I should. After I said that, I'm going to get in trouble for that one.
Yeah.
So anywhere you go, Mama has already scoped out the restroom. So obviously, she's having a lot of movements. Bowel movements, urinating a lot, and that's really when the majority of the things that we highlighted when we were in week 38, Joe. So I mean, that's kind of the highlights of week 38 where you two are at.
Is there anything that I need to be paying attention to at the bottom there?
At the bottom?
Yeah, I'm gonna cram for this test.
Golly, brother, really not. I mean, it. There's one thing that we didn't touch on, which you already mentioned. It says when a C-section is necessary. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay.
Go for it.
It says a C-section birth is the surgical delivery of an infant through incisions made in the mother's abdomen and uterus. There are many reasons that a C-section might be necessary, but one of the most common is when the baby is in a breech position. Breech position is when the baby fails to maneuver its head toward the birth canal and instead sits in an upright position.
Yes.
Recovery times are extended for a C-section, and your hospital stay will be a bit longer. A C-section will also result in a more complex healing process. So there you go.
That's
what Adrian, that's how he defines.
Mr. Adrian Colt.
Everybody.
Yeah, anyway, so there you go. Cooper, you know, we're done with the weeks, the books here. Usually we like to give some predictions, and since you're on the show today...
Yes.
I say we predict boy or girl.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm going boy.
Are you?
Even though past episodes I've said girl, like about Cooper.
You already predicted what my baby's going
to
be.
I think maybe I didn't. I don't remember. Maybe it's me talking to Carrie, but I've said girl in the past because I just think it's like in the cards.
At this point, it kind of feels like it. I mean, we're all drinking the same water, so I mean, technically, we kind of all conceived around the same time. So,
what did the guy taking the picture of Violet say? Didn't he say that she's done like a bunch of boys over the last couple?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you just read my mind, dude. I was just gonna say that. I've felt primarily because you know, with the closeness of our wives and just the whole situation, there's a big part of me that's like, how can't it be a girl, Cooper, right? I mean, all things considered. But just yesterday, Angie and I took Violet and we went and had down to Shelbyville. And we took her to a photographer that I highly recommend to both of you. She was awesome. Her quote unquote bedside manner was amazing. She knew how to handle that baby. Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. Anyway, true pro. So, and it's the photos where they position them and, you know, and then the baby's got the, you know, this kind of stuff, right? Where it just couldn't be any cuter, ridiculous,
right?
The whole thing. And she said that up until yesterday, she had 8 boys in a row. I asked her how many of those photography sessions she had. Frankly, I was just trying to figure out how much money she made per year because, you know, I paid her.
It's a lot.
Right? And I'm thinking, you know, 4 to 6 sessions per week. It's like, damn, girl, you're killing it. And anyway, she said, you know, I try and keep it to about 2 per week because some of them can be very stressful, which I, you know, obviously a newborn, you're trying to work with them, get position and all that. She said 2 a week is what I try and schedule is all. And she said, you know, the ironic thing is this is the first girl I've had in many weeks. She said, I've had 8 boys in a row, you know, just by sheer chance. And Violet was, you know, the first girl in some time. So there you go.
So
it's kind of a sign.
What I'm hearing. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. So I,
how much did it cost you? $1,000?
It was a large, it was a GER.
Basically. It was a GER?
Called $1,000. Yeah. Just under.
Dude, Cooper, have you found that to be true? Everything with and like buying for the pregnancy and getting ready is all $1,000.
You know, I will say this: they can charge you whatever they want, and they know it. Those bastards! I'm serious. They have the corner. What do you do? What do you do? You corner the market and then you drive prices up.
Right.
Economics Today podcast. We record tomorrow.
Cooper's got 2 podcasts coming out of history and an economics podcast.
For the one follower of mine that takes both of these podcasts together, just so you know, that's tomorrow. So just tune in then.
That's Phil. That's a Phil.
It is. Oh my God. It's so freaking expensive, though. I'll tell you, like, a rocker was a massive expense. And I was like, How much is a chair? I can make a chair. You want a chair? I'll get you a chair. Like $20. I can
fabricate that.
Are you gonna knock down that house next door to you in Fountain Square? There's just gotta be chair material in there.
Free lumber. That's what I'm talking about. I got a planer. You know, we're good. But yeah. But like a rocking chair, like 600 plus. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Which one'd you get?
I don't know. Whatever my wife said to get.
Yeah, good answer.
I said it once. It was fun.
Yeah, that's a common theme right there.
$1,000?
$1,000, whatever you want, babe.
We got the Yes Deer model.
Right.
Yes, oh my God. Right. Oh my God. Oh my God. Guys, I just had the recycling come by today and it was overflowing with boxes from Amazon. It was like with Christmas. And then not to mention I forgot I got, you know, it's all this stuff, not only Christmas, but the baby's birthday, my birthday. Everybody's hanging out. Like there's a ton of Amazon coming downtown.
Yeah, it's awful. And now what's happening is because
it's awful.
Okay, so there's a very specific part that's awful. The two people that know more about me than anybody right now are the trash guy because he sees all these boxes that come out, and Jeff Bezos because I have been getting on Facebook, on Instagram, on wherever they're listening. Would you like this cool hip diaper bag that fathers can wear? Would you like this, I don't know, this shirt that has a little baby burka in it? Would you like, I don't know, this cute, awesome life insurance plan for this child's future because you're a dirtbag father if you don't get it for it? Like, I'm getting every ad in the world. I don't know if you guys have been as well.
But yeah, yeah, now that you mention that.
It's all $1,000. It's just so much money.
Everything's a GER. Everything's a large. Everything's one large.
That's crazy.
I know you're in tech. Like, did you put those on my phone?
Yeah. It's probably Big Brother. No, when you buy things with your credit card, it's all connected to your phone.
Right.
I mean, it's not really, but honestly, I think the patents for microphone listening or, you know, have you guys seen that video of the guy going, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4, PS4, PS4, PS4. Or no, it's PlayStation 5, PlayStation 5. Spider-Man, Call of Duty, Spider-Man, Call of Duty. Like, he's trying to get it into his wife's phone so she can she gets the ads. I don't know if there's other topics that we really want to cover other than I'm going to guess boy just to be different. But I truthfully think it's kind
it's
of a girl.
I'll just say girl.
That's my official answer is girl.
I've been saying boy just to like keep face, but I gotta be honest, I would love it.
Is she carrying maybe high or low?
Pretty low.
It's a boy.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Let me just tell you this way. We're at 38 weeks and we're waiting for the baby to drop over here. So that's a girl.
Oh my gosh. The baby drop like a dubstep bass line, like
drop it
early on.
It's like right now G is like one of those DJs who don't let the bass drop. It's just like it's
up here.
Come on. Guys, and I'm currently reading. I've been doing what Patrick was doing. I was looking up some things about COVID. Cooper, are you concerned about COVID and them taking the baby away?
This is pretty cool. So our hospital, and one of the nice things about this midwifery, remember boys and girls, that's that word we learned early in the podcast.
MIDWIFERY, midwifery.
Sure. Why not? But, so this midwifery, they are a baby friendly hospital. They got certified as a baby friendly hospital. So hospitals, guys, I learned this is cool. Hospitals can apply for this, like, and it's a multiple year process to be tagged as baby friendly. And there's like all of these certifications and like training that the nursing staff and the providers and all that have to get to become baby friendly. They have to get specialized training, et cetera, and so forth. But this hospital is a baby friendly hospital. So really, the baby, even if COVID happened and we've already talked to them, they're not going to take the baby away from us at any point. The baby is going to be with us. The entire process are going to be with us, you know, and I think, you know, from a COVID standpoint, we have like locked everything down. We haven't left the house. We haven't gone anywhere. I think Patrick, I saw you the other day and we were both wearing masks in the house. Like it's just been really, like really relaxed for us. So I'm not really worried. I don't think Brooke's really worried.
The truth is I'm not just really worried about COVID and like I'll survive, but like if the baby gets taken there, because like that's kind of the thing is that if we have COVID, that's kind of the thought is that they're going to take the baby. And we're big on skin to skin contact. And like, what's really sad is if that someone had a flu, ask Brooke this right now, turn around Cooper and ask her and say, hey, is there, you know, is, would they take the baby if the mother had the flu? You know, probably not. So to say this 99% recovery rate thing for people our age and the baby. Now, granted, I'm reading articles pregnant with COVID-19 are more likely to get severely ill and die, CDC reports. But then it says also there's not a high risk. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, you know,
Patrick's showing a picture.
I'm gonna rely, you know, just like you guys have to. Oh my gosh, she's so
she's giggling. She's giggling.
Like just
that's,
like
that's guys during the podcast. Sorry,
a lot of these people to tell you what's right and tell you what's going on. Like, you know, Brooke's in it. Brooke's been in this game and you know health, women's health, and labor and delivery for years. And if she is coming into this saying like, hey, I you know trust these people, they're gonna do the best that they can. So like,
yeah, but can you get me a spot in your hospital? That's what I'm saying. Give me that spot, dude.
You know, I know a guy that's been selling hospital beds. So there's always a guy. So like,
there's
you know,
always a guy.
how about this article? Ready, Cooper? Listen to this one. Baby delivered by C-section while mom is in critical condition with COVID-19. So there you go. There's someone's having C-sections. Also saw one that said woman gives birth to a baby with coronavirus antibodies. So land. Whatever that means. Could be the cure, but let's just ignore it and sell the vaccine and make a lot of money. You know, that's the key. Sorry, I'm going down. I'm pissed that this is this pandemic is just like it's ruined this almost everything for us. I just felt like I'm involved at all. I mean, Carrie goes to her appointments by herself. I don't have to. I'm sitting here working, watching Devin. So yeah, I guess
you haven't been going to the appointments.
No, I'm not allowed.
So our hospital.
The midwife. Here it is.
Well, listen. $1 million word. So, I mean, we're obviously paying a premium, like, or whoever is. Someone is. The government is. I don't know. Someone is. But, you know, it's tough, you know. I mean, obviously, it's something that we've had to deal with, just like, you know, you guys have, and we're going to have to. But, I mean, everybody's doing the best they can. And
okay. Thanks.
It was interesting. Two weeks ago, I was able to go to a week ago I was able to go to a follow-up appointment with the pediatrician. And today I couldn't. There was no restrictions last week. This week it's one parent only, which was different, right? It's not as if I was watching, you know, the sonogram from my car.
Sonogram. Uber, we from the beginning we couldn't remember if it was a sonogram or ultrasound. We couldn't remember.
All right.
But now we got it. We had this podcast long enough where we've actually got it.
Based on this 20-second pause, I need to write this down to apologize to my wife. But we just went over this, and I am failing the test. So, all right, dear, if you're listening, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
Do you have your refrigerator list in front of you? By chance?
Yeah, read your refrigerator list.
Yeah. So on my refrigerator list, or the don't forget this shit, you idiot, list.
Yeah. dot, dot, dot.
So I've got bags. I've got so all the bags are at the door. Nice. I've got, I don't have that because we're not doing that. But I've got bags. I've got lights, AC. I've got the security.
What's AC?
Like turn the AC off, turn the off, all that.
Oh man, I'm gonna write this down.
Yeah. So in addition to that, I've also got snacks because we have a couple snacks we're getting.
Good.
I also have text family. So as we go to the hospital, I have a text thread of all of her immediate family, all of my immediate family.
It's just set up already.
Yeah, it's gonna say.
I would make that a group chat.
So I just have it already saved as a drafts.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah. Oh my God. You have drafts saved. Holy shit. Yeah, well, you are one day away here. So
we're freaking ready. We're here. And so it just says baby's on its way. We will communicate with you guys when we have time. Don't call. And just I mean,
don't call. I love don't call. They're going to call. Yeah. Hey, listen. Hey honey, listen. Aim straight.
Yeah. Whatever. It's mostly for the people in my family that are just going to be like, I didn't know you had it in you. Or I don't know.
Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
Uncle Bob's going to call.
Uncle Bob. He went to Ole Miss. He's just okay. An old Southern guy. He doesn't know any better. Right.
No. Hey, what you got there going on up there?
Oh boy, I didn't know you go have a Democrat up there. I don't know, who knows? At any rate, we just want to make sure that everybody feels like they're included, but also this is our moment and we're going to be the ones that are doing this. And so, you know, just
good. Set boundaries. I like it.
Bedding. Do you have bedding in your pile of to-go bags?
You have bedding? Yeah. Yeah.
Comfortable pillow and such.
I have, in my trunk, I have a sleeping bag. I have our emergency mobile bassinet, which is just this. It's great. It travels with us. It flips out. It's great. Yeah. I have an air mattress. I have a pillow.
Oh, damn. An air mattress. See? Brilliant.
I don't really feel bad for you, Patrick, because Angie revealed last episode she tried to tell you to bring stuff, and you were like, nah, it's probably going to be fine.
But I didn't realize it was that bad.
Well, how would you know? You didn't have a walkthrough.
I would rather have slept on my hardwood floors, dude.
That's why I asked If you remember last week when I asked you what's something you wish you had done or you wish you had brought, like, and we added a fan, actually. Thank
you. Ah, brilliant.
So yeah, it's got that on it. And then I think like the only other thing, let me just make sure. Yeah, the only other thing is Thaw, like, and it has Thaw meals. I made a couple of weeks back, like, some frozen, like, some chicken.
Dude, you're doing so much better than me.
And so as soon as we go to the hospital, I'm taking those out because they're putting them in the fridge so they'll be thawed by the time we get home.
Attaboy. Well played. Well played. Look at Joe. Joe's like, you son of a... You
son of a bitch.
I'm really sorry.
I mean, I got yelled at for not doing COVID research today. And I'm
Gary,
like...
when you listen to this, just know Joe is doing his best.
There you go.
I'm in a startup company. I'm the only one really kicking ass right now. That's not true. The whole company's kicking ass. But in general, I got 17,000 clients.
Yeah.
I got people coming. I'm working till 6:30. I like working. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying for the first time I like working.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then I get this baby. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do?
You got this. You got this.
But so far, wait, can you go over those first two things again?
Yeah. So actually, I'll just
what were the first two things?
Just text this to you later. It's just like basic stuff like turn the AC off.
Yeah, I got that.
Like the alarm for the home, the lights, get my DOP kit. That's the only thing I don't have in mind.
DOP kit.
DOP kit? Is this a Western freaking Southern thing?
I know what it is. I brought up DOP kit a few episodes back, sorry. And Joe was like, what's a DOP kit?
I was like,
kit?
DOP?
My wife said the same thing when she lives in the episodes. Like, DOP kit. It's the first time I ever heard that. It's like, what? It's like,
we're old souls.
Toiletry.
I mean, I'm an old soul. Yeah, my DOP kit. I've got like toothbrush, toothpaste, all that. So phone charger, like stuff like that, that we're ready to go. So
good. Yeah. Good. You're prepped. You're ready to roll. And if you need anything, we're there for you, as you know.
That's really
although cool. I'm not going to rake up your leaves for you when you're
at
the midwifery house.
Yeah, they can do that.
Homie, don't play that.
They'll probably go back to your house and do it for you. This midwifery.
Yeah, they actually sleep in my bed to keep it warm for me.
Aww. Aww.
Nice guys.
I keep thinking of things to tell you guys. Like this week, things have happened. Like we went to the Christmas lights. Thing at the state fair, and there's music, you know, you sync it up to the music. It's a great show. Loved it. Absolutely loved. Would recommend all day, because the other one at the IMS wasn't like synced up to the music last year or 2 years ago. This one is synced up. They got really cool ones. Anyway, the dogs come with us, and obviously Chica, our Chihuahua, is in the baby seat. Likes to sit in the baby seat. And I was like, Carrie, you think Chica's going to in the baby seat. She's like, sure enough, she's probably gonna sleep with Gia. Probably sit there with Gia. I was like, oh man, that's gonna be funny. Lorelei, there's tons of stuff to think about.
Protective.
Yeah, I know. Lorelei is so protective. Carrie picked Violet up for a minute, and she like almost went off.
It's her baby. She is so protective. It's beautiful. Awesome. I love it.
It's really funny. Well, Cooper. Other than, I think...
So excited for you.
Yeah, dude, we're really excited, man.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. I am on that, like, continuum between, like, fearful and, like, anxious and, like, super freaking excited to meet my, like, new best friend.
Right, and right in the middle of all that is you're all bound up.
Right there.
Just I can't believe you can't move.
Yeah, you know, that's why I'm having a couple of cocktails tonight. It'll just kind of loosen everything up.
Good. Are you driving to the hospital if you have to?
Well, okay, so...
You better call an Uber.
Let me just say this. Like, if baby comes tonight, we're going to be okay. We'll be fine. Figure it out. But, we talked about this. Tonight's the last night that I'm going to have, like, a drink of any kind, shape, or form. Like, you know... Because we're ready. From this point on, it's like 2 a.m., 11 a.m.
Right. And you're off.
Who knows? Like, we're ready. We're ready.
Oh, man.
We're proud of you, buddy. We're happy that you were able to join it. You did a great job singing. You heard a gamut of our inside jokes, our podcast jokes.
Yeah.
But the one thing that happens at the end of every podcast is Patrick gives us a quote, and he's looking.
I pulled it up.
The light on the glasses. No, I want to give Cooper a chance.
Oh.
Give us a saying that you can end the show with, Patrick. So is there a saying of wisdom? Oh, he looks like he's got one.
Yeah. So I do. So I actually have, we have a toast that we give in my family.
Great. Ooh. Do it.
It's for my great aunt Nuna, my granddad, the one that was 101 that just passed away, his sister, she's 94, great health, doing well. But this is words that she's kind of crafted her life by, and it's all just about getting it done, going at it, trying as hard as you can, and it'll be kind of a motto that we always raise our kid by. And that's going to be, here's to it and at it and at it and to it and at it again. If you don't get to it while you're at it, you'll never get to it again.
Okay, Patrick, say that.
Cheers. I can't.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
Hey, here's to it and at it.
Here's to it and at it. And at it and to it.
And to it, at it again.
And to it and at it again.
If you don't get to it.
If you don't get to it.
While you're at it.
While you're at it.
You'll never get to it again.
You'll never get to it again. Cheers.
Aww, cheers, guys. All right, next time we talk to you, we'll probably know what Cooper had, and we'll know the answer to our bets. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we care about you. See you guys later.
Love you, fellas.
Love you guys.